just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, an English Premier League podcast hosted by four Americans. I'm your host, Chris Bowerbank, here in D.C. tonight, Washington, D.C., and I'm joined tonight by Jacob and Shay, three-man pod, front three, top of the 4-3-3, any other three references?
I mean, that's probably
promoted
me.
Three, the relegated
three. Three of a kind?
Three of a kind, what?
No.
Three amigos.
Three. Okay. Jose Nola Enrique squad. Three. Yeah.
Three's company.
Fellas, we are coming fresh off a Premier League weekend and coming off of a, we had midweek fixtures. We had a World Cup draw for Russia 2018 and another weekend of fixtures. So a lot of games and things to talk about. But, you know, we'll still probably keep the show around 30 to 40 minutes today. I think we need to lead with the World Cup. 32 teams. This might be the last 32-team World Cup. So just first impressions, general impressions on the draw overall.
Yeah, very, very interesting. There's no group of death. There's a typical group of death that we're used to seeing where, you know, it's like two or three powerhouses this year. Really, it's spread pretty thin with okay to mediocre talent.
No, you're right. The talent, I think, is pretty well dispersed. I mean, I guess, Shay, I mean, if you had to say there's a quote-unquote group of death, it's probably Group D, right? I think it'll be a big challenge for all those parties. In fact, I don't even think, you know, Argentina is necessarily a shoe-in.
I think it's the most well-balanced for sure.
I mean, I think Croatia are going to be very interesting. And, you know, Iceland could really party poop. So I would watch out there. But if that's the group of death, I guess it's not necessarily the group that I'm most intrigued by. Group F. I know a lot of people are interested in that Brazil, Switzerland, you know, Costa Rica, Serbia group. But for me, it's the Sweden, South Korea, and Germany. I mean, South Korea always, and same with Japan. I just feel like they're always very solid, always show up, you know, well prepared, well drilled. You know, again, Mexico, you know, they do the business. They show up at these tournaments. You know, I love Chicharito. I mean, I feel like Mexico always usually shows out at the World Cup. It's very tough to beat. And then, you know, Sweden just getting in and really, you know, playing well to beat Italy, I think just has a real excitement in Group F for me.
Yeah, I actually have tickets to that Germany-Mexico game. So, exactly. I'm really hyped. Which player are you guys most excited to see in the World Cup from the Premier League? There's a ton of them. I'm actually looking into players by country right now. And actually, before you answer that question, which country do you think has the most Premier League players playing for it?
Probably England.
Yeah.
Well, okay, other than England. Sorry. Other than England.
Fair point. I don't know. My guess is Senegal.
My guess is probably...
You know, assuming they all make it and they don't get injured.
I'm going to say Belgium.
Yep, that's right.
Nice.
Good point.
The most tasteful group for me, or the most appetizing group, I would say is Group H. Jacob, I know you mentioned Japan, but I think all four of those teams have a good chance of advancing depending on their day. I think, you know, Poland has some real talent. Senegal is going to be very exciting to watch. Japan as well. And then Colombia, you know, we've seen them kind of have ups and downs over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I don't know. I think they're a team that, you know, did still make it out of South America. I still think, you know, they have quite a bit of quality on that team. So Group H is my next best group out of the ones that weren't mentioned. But yeah, I mean, that's coming up, man. June is 6 months away. So before you know it, it'll be hot outside, and Shay will be in Russia watching these games. I'm excited.
It is. Where are we going to watch? I got to figure out. Where are we going to watch, Chris? What's the deal? Now, you know, now that the U.S. isn't in, we have probably a plethora of spots to choose from in D.C. without
some of the worst people
in the world.
Well, I think
we should have an ATP viewing party.
Well, I think the interesting thing about you know the games being in Russia is the game times are going to be absurd. I mean, we're probably going to be watching games at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. So, yeah, we need to find the best 5 a.m. bars. And I'll have a crazy work schedule. But I'm excited. I think that's one thing we need to keep in mind when talking about a Russia World Cup. And you could have games in Moscow or I don't know how far east they're going to go. Shay, you might have insight into that. But I'll tell the listeners, you know, keep in mind these aren't going to be 8 p.m. Eastern games. So
set your DVRs. Yeah. I remember World Cup 98. Yeah, I remember the VCR. My dad setting up the VCR codes and just watching on the VHS afterwards.
Or Korea, Japan, 02. I remember watching those, you know, in the middle of the
night. Oh, in school. Yeah. We watched Italy, that Italy South Korea game in school. It's a very cool teacher, you know, towards the end there.
Yeah, it prepared you for life, I see. Some real skills.
It did. I should have been learning English, yeah. Commanded the English language.
No need for that. Fellas, let's jump into Premier League, though. I mean, we had basically two match weeks over the last 6 days, and a lot has happened since then. We've seen a Tottenham team drop to sixth place. We've seen Manchester City still add on to the best Premier League start ever. We saw Swansea drop to dead last in the Premier League. And we've seen a number of teams go up and down the table. I guess just at first glance, Shay, let's start with you. Who's had the worst two match weeks, you know, since the last time we had a show?
Well, I mean, the most disappointing to me for sure is Tottenham. I mean, I think that goes without saying. They haven't won a game in the last four matches in Premier League.
Yeah, but since last week, who's had the last? Tottenham?
Yeah. Yeah, Tottenham. So I said Tottenham, but yeah, Tottenham.
Jacob, how about I mean, they drew Watford. I mean, they still got a point. I mean,
yeah, Tottenham's understandable. I mean, I just don't know how it doesn't get worse than Swansea. I mean, Swansea are just, horrible. I mean, I don't think there's enough Premier League quality on that team, and I think Sigurdsson's absence is really hurting them. I know you'd expect that, but you know, he covered some of the most ground last season, and I think a lot of people wouldn't expect that. But I mean, you know, Leroy Fair starting in that team, Bonnie starting in that team. I mean, Fair has been relegated multiple times. I know you love him, Chris. Oh, he's so great. He's garbage.
I never said I would want him on my team. I know I've said I've been a fan, but yeah.
You fawned over him. He's been pretty poor. In terms of, you know, best. I mean, does it get much sweeter than Everton? I mean, boy, a send off for.
Yeah, exactly.
For the old manager, and you know, of course, you bring in Big Sam, and you know, 6 points that is hat huge for them.
Rooney. Especially, I think that's, yeah.
Right, 6 points takes them up at the mid table. You know, they could have been down still in 18th place. Now they're up in 10th, heading into the derby, and then getting drawn with Liverpool again for the FA Cup. So, I think, you know, trending upward. I'm interested to see how things shake out there.
One thing to note about Swansea is, I mean, they have scored one goal in their last five games. I mean, just unable to put the ball in the back of the net, which is a similar problem that they had. I mean, how reliant were they on Sigurdsson last year? And what did they really
very
do?
Much so.
What's that?
Very much so. Yeah. But juxtapose that against, you know, their goals against. Actually not, you know, how many goals they're giving up is not the problem. They just cannot score.
Yeah,
as many goals conceded as Southampton in 11th, one less goal than Arsenal conceded, one less goal than Liverpool conceded. So you know, defensively something's going right, but again, offensive end.
Yeah, but you said it, Jacob. I mean, I think the best storyline was Everton just lining it up. I mean, and Leicester looked good too, so it's a close battle for second, especially that Vardy goal from midweek. But I mean, Wayne Rooney with the hat trick and Everton just. Guns blazing. It's been pretty exciting.
Well, let me ask you about these two teams, Tottenham and Everton in particular. I mean, we've seen Everton kind of go through this lull, and then we've seen Everton, you know, maybe it's a boost, maybe it's a tactical change. I mean, maybe it's a tactic change. What's Tottenham doing wrong here, and what's Everton doing right, or is it just a matter of, you know, a week passed by, and we're seeing, you know, maybe the locker room change. You know, what's happening here?
Well, for Tottenham. I mean, everybody goes through injury crisis year after year. You know, Tottenham actually are looking relatively healthy by comparison, but they're missing two key players, Alderweireld and Wanyama. And I believe Dembele also is out.
Right now,
Sanchez with the red card. I mean, those are just key players for them. I don't think I think now we realize how I think valuable Wanyama is. He really keeps things together nicely there. And I don't think, when Dyer comes up and plays higher up in the field in the midfield, or even Harry Winks, or Sissoko, I don't think they can sort of bring just the reliability and defense and the passing and the vision that Wanyama offers. He would make any team much better. That's part of it. And the second part is, I think, Europe, they've been playing very well and putting a lot of effort on the line there to beat some of these top teams. I think it's taking a toll on a side that, still, I think, getting used to playing in Europe consistently.
Yeah, that's a good point. I find it interesting. I think for a little bit, I thought it might have been, I think, you make a good point with the Champions League comment, but at one point I was thinking, maybe it's a Pochettino thing at the moment. I mean, I noticed Robbie Earle saying something about, Pochettino coming out well before halftime ended, looking like he had just ripped into the players in that Leicester match, and they still couldn't come away with a W. Like, just a poor performance, very lackadaisical first half. That we've seen from them, and I think we've seen it in a couple halves. I thought Watford put way more pressure on them than Spurs could offer this weekend. So I just don't know if the Wanyama and the Alderweireld absence is all of that. I mean, I definitely think it's a big chunk, and you made some good points, but there's some weird energy missing from that team that we were seeing over the last 12 months.
They had it in the Champions League, when they went, I guess, stretch, like Jacob said. But yeah, there's something missing, and it's not going to get better. Like I said, Sanchez is out for the next three games, so defensively they're going to be a bit of a mess. It almost makes me think, do you, at this point, you're still doing well in Champions League, right? They won their group stage, right? What should be the priority? Or is it a disappointment if Tottenham makes it to the semifinals of Champions League but doesn't make it to the top four in Premier League? I mean, it's still a lot of time, but, priorities at this point, and I always tend towards Premier League instead of Champions League.
I think you probably still think that you can finish in the top four. And let's be real. I mean, they're not good enough to win the Champions League. City, I think, of all the British teams, stands the best chance. So I don't think you throw that. I mean, I wouldn't, at least. And I think there's a good chance I could still make it into the top four. But they're not playing all that poorly. I mean, I just think they're maybe not hitting the chances. Kane missed an easy chance. Song missed an easy chance. It's not like they're not creating, but I think it's
just missing that final end product.
Yeah. Come on, let's not say like they're playing horribly. Mm-hmm. They've had chances to win the Leicester game. They had chances to win at Watford. Now, I want to ask you guys, there were two red cards this weekend. We kind of can talk about the Pogba one, if there's still anything to debate, really. But I did not think that the Sanchez red was a red.
Yeah, that was a little odd. And like a lot of it seemed like, was it Richarlison that was the victim of the arm up sort of thing?
I think so. I don't recall who that was.
Yeah, I think both that and the Pogba challenge are debatable. I think they probably are both reds, but if you're the player in both of those situations, you've got to be so frustrated because they're both avoidable. They're both, they're both on the line. I mean, it's just one of those things. You're just going to have to serve the three games, maybe appeal it, try to appeal it, and hope the FA,
yeah,
well,
they're not appealing the
Sanchez exactly,
one, yeah,
so.
Which I thought was, well, the Pogba one. I mean, I think that, come on, I think the key thing in that one is endangering the safety of another player, excessive force. I mean, it's definitely not intention. Unfortunately, intention is not one of those things that has to be taken into consideration. But that's huge. Moving on to that Arsenal game. I mean, I think we guys, we can make a case that Arsenal has had one of the better spells in the last, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, I think, playing pretty well, even despite going down to Manchester United. But what were your key takeaways from that game, Shay, and what will the absence of Pogba mean versus City?
Yeah, I mean, look, that was one of the most exciting games I've seen this whole season in any league, right? Any competition in any league of soccer. What did Arsenal end up having? 28 shots? Arsenal had 28 shots in that game. 22 in the first half or something crazy like that. I mean, there was no shortage of chances, and I kind of feel for Arsenal. I thought the whole time they deserved at the very least a second goal if David De Gea wasn't anything short of, you know, Jesus in that game. It's literally playing magical. But no, it was mostly, I watched it. I mean, granted, I watched it at Arsenal Pub, so I just enjoyed the humor of it all. but I thought, you know, United had a lot. They showed a lot of weakness. And I, for the life of me, you know, there's some changes, some formations that I just don't like United. And one of them consists of when Marcus Rojo plays, because I think he's a defensive liability. But what I do like is that with Pogba on the side, we just look completely at ease. Like, everyone can step into their natural position and do things without having to do too much, right? Like, Matic plays better when he's on, you know, Martial, Lukaku, they look more excited when he's on. Granted, Martial was pissed about coming off early, which we could all see. But that him being out for the next three games is a tremendous loss.
No, I like the word humendous. Humendous. I'm going to start using that one. That's how big it is. Right, tweet at Paul Pogba and let him know, Shay. Yeah.
I mean, I personally think just Arsenal to go down 2-0 like that on those mistakes is inexcusable. It was reminiscent of Liverpool's defense, in all honesty. I think the Koscielny one specifically, just dead giveaway across the middle. The second he played that ball, I'm thinking to myself, it's a goal. I mean, Arsenal has been down. They went down to Liverpool like that early. It's a matter of focus from me as a viewer. It's just, as an Arsenal fan, I'd be furious to watch that happen. You're expecting a Arsenal to rise up, have a great performance, and then you start like that, and then have to claw your way back against a Mourinho team. Like, there's just, just not the way to start that game.
Though, in fairness to, you know, not to be overly harsh to Arsenal, I mean, yes, they made the mistakes, but they were definitely pressured into it by the way Manchester United was playing. I mean, they really closed down that middle space. And any time, whether it was Sanchez or Ozil, tried to sort of drop deep and turn and create sort of like a 1v2 sort of like triangle mismatch attacking, you know, Lindelof or whoever it was always stepping with and shutting down that space. And then meanwhile, you know, Valencia and Martial were always pressuring the outside backs, really forcing them to either collapse in the middle or collapse on the outside. And, I mean, they made both those turnovers happen. I mean, not without Arsenal mistakes. So I think you got to give Mourinho credit there.
Yeah, that's a great point. Where, I mean, how do you combat that, though? I mean, do you think, like, a player like Ozil could have done more, Xhaka could have done more in the middle of the field to make themselves more open?
I
think Ozil did quite a bit, actually.
Ozil was pretty good. I think this is now two or three games that he's been pretty active. But I would have brought on Iwobi. But, I mean, I would have started him from the beginning. I like Welbeck, but I just don't know where he's at in his career in terms of what he offers. You know, of course, they got robbed on that penalty. I mean, that's a stone-cold penalty. Iwobi's looked good, and we've talked about him in recent weeks. Scoring and setting up goals. I think he's going to be an asset for Nigeria this summer. I think he could have a big World Cup. You know, probably wants to develop, you know, leave Arsenal. But I mean, I don't know. Again, Chris, you asked a question. Besides that, what else could they have done? And I think it's maybe just down to the personnel, down to the system. I just don't know. I mean, Mourinho had that team just so closing down space is great. Now, granted, they gave up a lot of shots, and De Gea saved a ton, and that could cost them against City. But I mean, so there are a lot of saves to be made, but in terms of clear cut chances, you know, only a couple there, which, you know, that's why you have De Gea. I mean, that's that X factor. So,
right.
Again, I don't know.
I don't think there's much they could have done more. I mean, you said it right, Jacob, but minus those bad mistakes and just being poor. I think what it did tell us about Arsenal is that they're just weak defensively, not in terms of, like, you know, form, but just in terms of natural body and mentality, right? It's funny because someone was like, man, we need a towering defender when I was watching the game. And I was like, what are you talking about? You had Mertesacker. I enjoyed that. But no, I mean, I think.
Your own jokes. All right.
I got to my own jokes. But Arsenal looked good. I mean, look, they 26 shots. Yeah. I mean, that's terrible for them. They couldn't finish. But they had no shortage of chances. They should have technically at least tied that game if you look at statistics alone. They just made stupid mistakes and United was able to capitalize and they didn't.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's like, you know, 101. And maybe that's just the way Wenger likes to play. And that's this whole focus on the top teams of possessing and having center backs that can possess. But, you know, sometimes you just have to do the Huth and Morgan style and just, you know, Huth the ball up the field, you know? You just got to do it. It's not always pretty, but sometimes it's just what has to be done. And then you just have, you know, when you have a guy, especially, you know, with Arsenal, I know it's not pretty, but, you know, let's say you have Giroud on the field and you have Sanchez. I mean, these guys close down space very quickly. And I guess Welbeck to that extent, too. You know, you can always nick one off a guy like Rojo or, you know, Phil Jones. I know he wasn't playing, but.
Wenger is turning in his grave hearing you say that. Hearing you say to give up his style of play for that.
Yeah, well, doesn't like some part of you think that if Tony Pulis, like, do you ever just wonder if someone like Tony Pulis
took over at
ever
Arsenal?
Did? Well, if somebody, you know, if you gave a manager like Tony Pulis or Sam Allardyce the type of talent in a squad like that, that they would be able to organize them and get, you know, results. I mean, I know it wouldn't be maybe it wouldn't be the best use of some of these players' talents. Or maybe it's beneath them, but like, you know.
Hey,
is it so inconceivable to think that?
I think it's an interesting theoretical proposal. I think a manager swap, like a wife swap, manager swap would be a fun thing to watch in the Premier League for sure. You know, imagine just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, imagine what like David Wagner could do with a Tottenham or a Manchester United or something. It'd be interesting to see what some of these guys could do. But
no, I think it's a mentality thing too. Like you get a squad like those guys have. And they, off the bat, I mean, yeah, they may not say it, but they off the bat know they're an inferior team. So they have more of a chip on their shoulder. I mean, think about all the games you played where you know the other team has been better than you. And you really, all you want to do is kind of win the physical battle. And that's what happens. And that's why they get all these draws. That's why Stoke City is so consistent. Well, they were so consistent in these draws. But you tell a player like Sanchez to put in more physicality and less, you know, technique and skill. That's not gonna happen.
I don't know. I feel like the players would like that. I mean, it's very simple. It's not convoluted. It's very easy to be, you know, to coach once you get the defensive part right. You know, it's just like, hey, let's just go out and, you know, I mean, it's like schoolboy stuff, right? I mean, before like you get coach and tactics and 1-2s and you know back heel flicks and all these things around the box, like, you know, you hoof it. You run, you chase it down. I mean, I know it's maybe not the most entertaining, but I wonder, like, would Arsenal fans take it if it meant they were more effective?
I doubt it. I bet you there are a lot of Arsenal fans out there that are fans because of the style of play. But that's just my two cents. I mean,
maybe Arsenal fans, let us know.
Yeah,
I'm just curious. Let us know. I'm sure you will.
One quick thing to wrap up this segment: Manchester Derby is this coming weekend. Shay, with Pogba out, any chance that Manchester United can maybe nick a point?
No, I don't think there's a chance with Pogba out. With Pogba out, I don't think there's a chance.
You're predicting a City win this weekend?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Right. I haven't picked United to lose this whole season in the ATP Prediction League, so I'm not going to pick a draw. But I think there's no way. I mean, like with Pogba in the season, we haven't lost a game when he plays this season.
Well, he conveniently got a three-game suspension. Hey, it might have been purposeful.
Yeah, I think if I bet you Mourinho sets up the same way, maybe brings Fellaini in and you try to exploit them on the set piece.
That's a nightmare. That literally is a nightmare.
No, it's a nightmare for City.
My nightmares.
Yeah, but look at Ogbonna. I mean, they scored off the set piece. People are saying they're vulnerable there, and I think there's valid argument. But on the counterattack, if they set up like they did against Arsenal, you know, City was vulnerable. I mean, Masuaka, I think, came very close to scoring. Arnautovic nicked the ball. Antonio nicked the ball a number of times against a City team pressing very high up the field. They're not infallible. They're not without flaws. in some of the loose play at the back. And I think, you know, Lukaku, maybe not Lukaku, but, you know, Martial or Rashford or Lingard, one of those guys could nip in and find himself one-on-one with the keeper. I mean, it was there for Antonio, just a heavy, you know, Ederson came out well. So there are definitely, I think, ways to beat City.
We'll see. See if they can pull it off. I think you got a good point, Jacob. I mean, I think now's the time to do it. You know, they've had some really tough results, and only, you know, put a couple in the back of the net. They barely scraped by this weekend. So, and with Champions League coming up, they might be looking a little. They might be tired. I don't know. Not a lot of depth in back right now.
Yeah, and I agree. The only I think vulnerability. The only team we've seen them really create vulnerabilities. I mean, that you thought if this game had gone on longer, really could have put City to the sword. Granted, a lot of teams have recently, in the last 3 weeks, have made it very hard for City to win and challenge them. You know, is Liverpool. I mean, do you remember, you know, before Mane got sent off, he was really, he and Salah were both taking Otamendi, you know, to the cleaners. So
that's
weak link.
The what if factor. Too bad it doesn't count for anything. Still lost 5-0, 5-1.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Champions League for all of you Champions League viewers. All right, guys, we have Champions League this week. It's back. Manchester United versus CSKA Moscow. Chelsea versus Atletico. What else we got with Premier League clubs? Tottenham versus APOEL. I don't even know how you say that.
APOEL.
Liverpool versus Spartak Moscow. And I'm missing one Premier League team. Man City versus Shakhtar. So, any particular fixtures that stand out to you? There's also, you know, Real Madrid, Dortmund, Juventus, Olympiacos, Bayern versus PSG. Some very exciting matches, but who needs to win the most right now?
Tough question. I mean, in terms of the standings or in general? Because I think there are two different answers. If I think in general who needs a win, I mean, I think, you know, definitely Tottenham. Which would kind of be more frustrating if you're a fan, though. But I think Tottenham really, you know, get a victory against APOEL. You know, APOEL has, I think, 2 points in the group stage.
Two draws in that group is pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if they can just, you know, play a little bit of a weakened lineup, maybe altered, start Llorente, maybe give Kane a rest, get some goals in there, build some confidence, and head into the weekend for their fixture against Stoke, you know, that would be good. You know, Stoke was only 1-1-7, so I think they're ripe for the picking. And then follow that up with Brighton. You know, the promoted teams are just starting to seem to like lose a little bit of momentum in the league, so I think they need it. But if we're talking about, you know, in the Champions League, which game is most important, or that maybe I'm most interested in, is I would probably say that Man United CSAK Moscow. I mean, that group is tight, so you know, if they can get a result, that'd be huge. And, you know, I think Pogba's going to want to show out, maybe disappointed after the red card. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chelsea I think Chelsea needs to make a statement against Atletico. Atletico's just now back into the groove. They had a slow start in their group. And if Chelsea really wants to lock up that first seed for the knockout stages, they need to at least get a draw against Atletico. After their result against Roma, you know, they were kind of in a lull then. So, you know, based on their recent results, I think they can pull it off. But I think Chelsea probably needs to win the most right now. Although, you know, Liverpool probably in the same boat. If they lose to Spartak Moscow this week, then they're sitting probably in third in their group.
Yeah, but I would be okay with Liverpool getting knocked out of the Champions League. Right. I mean, we, you know, there's so much.
Why? So you can then be in Europa League and then have a fixture? And then,
yeah, the Man United model. Hello.
No.
I mean, Liverpool's not going to win. And, you know, Mane is very fragile. And he has a World Cup coming up. I mean, I told you this. I hope that all, you know, I hope Senegal and Egypt get knocked out very early.
Well, okay. So let me ask you this, though. This is more of a, like, you know, high level question, but you would rather Liverpool get knocked out and then be in Europa League and make a run for the Europa League title versus like trying to make a quarterfinal, semifinal Champions League run?
I would rather
Liverpool play in Champions League and at least try for the quarterfinal semis. I don't think, you know, they're a good enough team to even make the semis, but
no,
you never know.
Well, some of us have jobs during the weekday, so we can't all get off and watch the Liverpool game. So from that perspective, you know, yeah, I want to watch as much Liverpool as possible. But realistically, I would like to see Liverpool finish. I think we could definitely finish in second. You know, I think City's probably has an unassailable lead. But I mean, just look at the crappy teams we've dropped points to with all the chances that Salah missed early in the season. He could have a boatload of goals. I mean, he's in great form. I think finishing, you know, higher in the league or even finishing fourth again, I think would show a little bit of progress here. And, you know, I think I'd rather get back in the Champions League that way.
No, realistically,
I mean, it's great to see.
I'm talking Europa League versus Champions League, though.
I'm saying neither. I'm saying, you know.
So you want them to bow out of the group stage and then immediately lose in Europa League just so they have the less fixtures?
That's correct. That's correct, because I think that's the only way with the current squad we have that we'll have any shot of making progress. I mean, that's really how much of a realist I am.
Okay. I mean, it's a take. It's definitely a take.
Yeah, I think it's a long take. But you know, who knows?
Let me tell you, don't get me wrong. I would have wanted to win the FA Cup. I would have wanted to win the League Cup. Now, you know, forget about it. You know, one of those, you know, ended disgracefully. So,
all right, Che. Final comment on these Champions League fixtures. Any particular one you're excited to watch or one we should follow?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the Chelsea Atletico game for sure. I don't think I've seen enough of Griezmann this year, so I want to see these last couple of games on Athletic before he leaves for the next year. Also, I think this might be Europa is also this week, right? So this may be Sanchez's and Ozil's last Europa League game on Arsenal. It could be.
Good point. Hey, if you're saying that Griezmann leaves and he's going to go to Manchester United, right? Is that your insinuation?
No, I actually don't think he's going to go there. But I just want to see him play before he joins the powerhouse and then I get bored.
Hey, odds on Diego Costa being at that game.
Oh.
Maybe he'll do, you know.
Is he eligible to play Chelsea?
No, of course not. The transfer goes through in January.
Oh, yeah. He's just like in the stands.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
All right, guys. You can find us on AcrossThePond.co, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, and more. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you check out those games midweek. Make sure you join us in our prediction league on AcrossThePond.co/predictions.
Update those predictions.
Yes.
Update those, Chris. We got to know. People must know.
If you haven't been predicting with us all year, you can jump in mid-season. Before the second half of the season starts, we'll give a scarf away to the winner of the second half of the season. So if you're really good, you might get a jersey and scarf. But none of us on the show are in that boat right now. But we never know.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, shit. Shots fired.
Shots fired. Shout out to Miles. See you in London.
Bomber Claude Johnson. We'll be right back.
Thank you.